anything about soil is good, but dirt,
like clay, and
dirt, it just doesn't seem like a good thing. But God made dirt.
Dirt don't hurt. Hey, what's up, guys? Once again, welcome to Is It Crazy or Is It God? We'll be read the Bible every week, and we just ask you to join us. Like, comment, subscribe. So we just want us to, it's just sharing God's word, and we want everybody to get into the Bible and just have fun. There's some interesting stuff in there.
Wow, to say the least.
What we just learned today. But we're going to rightly get into it. But of course, once again, I always start off the show like this because I think it's very vital. How was your week?
Oh, wow. How did I forget? this week was a little wild. Oh, it was bittersweet. Mm. So, it was a busy, it's always a busy week at work. I don't know. We're in a busy season at work. So, every week it just gets busier up until we hit this deadline or, you know, whatever. But I lost one of the coolest people I ever met in my life. I lost a person who, well, the earth lost a person who was so kind and so full of joy and energy. And I've personally, in the years that I've known him, which is basically my whole life, have never seen him upset, not once. I mean, I'm sure he got upset, but I never saw it. He was just always full of joy, laughing, joking, sharing his gifts. When I tell you somebody sharing their gifts, this man did that. And so I lost my uncle, and it was sad, but it's only sad for me. And I mean, I'm sure it's sad for our whole family, you know what I mean? But when I think about the logic behind what we know about death, that we're all going to die at some point, like, we know that for sure. I think most people do. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody, but it's a fact that everyone we've seen get to an age above probably 110, 120 or something. I don't know who the longest living person was in our sort of age. Anyway, I'm rambling. It's a known fact that we're going to die. And it hit me. It struck me as odd the other day because I was like, okay, I'm sad and I can recognize that I'm sad. But I mean, what is that? What is the sadness? Is it pain because I won't experience him on the earth? Is it guilt because I should have been more interactive? What is the sadness? Since we all know we're going to die, it almost shouldn't be scary because we know it's going to happen. And so, I don't know. I don't know why it's sad, but it is sad. I can confirm that is sad, but one of the great things about it is that I got a chance to go back, and he was a content creator, so I got a chance to go back and look at some stuff that I had already seen when he recorded it live, but it's just him sharing his gifts, and it dawned on me that it was a wonderful gift that he gave through content creation, because as long as those platforms are around, which is probably going to be a long time, I can always go back and enjoy his personality and his spirit because he created that content. And so, and he just had a large body of work anyway, but he will be missed. And so it was a bittersweet week, and also some good things came out of it. So yeah. Before that, it's interesting we're in Job, because I'm going to get into it too later, but when we talked about how we moved our reading schedule around a little bit, and I felt it, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, mm-hmm. But yeah, my week was kind of like up and down, and then it was just like solemn for a couple days there, but I had a pretty, you know, I'm blessed. I'm here learning about God. Got everything that I need. So how was your week?
It was difficult, but I can't complain because we have it good. So,
yeah.
But it's just me wanting more for myself.
Yeah.
And knowing this journey that I'm on spiritually, physically.
Yeah.
And emotionally is, we're going to get into that later. Oh, we've already discussed it, but it's just developing these new habits. It's not as easy. And I know I can do better, so I'm going to, you know, this week coming up, I'm just going to push myself a little harder. Mm-hmm. So, man, at the end of the day, I can always adjust. But I think I can push myself a little bit harder.
Well, the great thing about that is that you've already pushed yourself to a standard that now you want to heighten it, right? Yeah. So if you had never started or tried, you would still be back at square one, wondering if you could, right? And so I can see how much growth you have had, or, you know, I can see good. So,
yeah,
good job. I say good job. I understand, though, the internal sort of...
I think I could have done more.
Yeah. Well, we would feel like, I get it. I don't think that about you, but I get it because I do that too. I'm like, oh, I could have done better. And everybody around you is telling you, but you're doing fine.
Yeah, everybody.
You're great. And it's just like, but I know I could do better.
I know.
What I mean? So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So besides that, I'm pretty blessed. So.
Yes.
Know. Yeah. That's it. That's how my week went, man. So, y'all probably going to hear that for a couple months. Because waking up early is real. That's all I got to say.
Yes. Okay, well, we're coming to you with a fresh episode of Is It Crazy or Is It God? So, we're going to get started. This week we read what?
Job.
All right, let me bring out the handy-dandy guide here. Because this was our reading plan. So this is where we ended off. We ended off on 31. I think last week we read 21 to 31.
Yep.
So and then this past week we read 32.
Yes, that's right.
And we ended off the chapter at 42.
So we read 32 to 42. 10 chapters down, baby.
That was a real...
It's very interesting. So we're going to go through the questions and this wonderful study guide that we have, the teachsundayschool.com. No, they don't sponsor us. It's a resource.
We just use their products. So they're great.
We gotta shout them out.
Yeah, and I put their link in the description box. Yeah. So, yeah, or you can just go to teachsundayschool.com.
Yeah.
This particular excerpt that we're reading off of is the 365 Daily Bible Reading Plan. Which is like, so the way it works on there is, I'm sorry, I'm not going to.
Oh, go ahead.
The way it works on there is they have all of these digital products, and they're priced pretty nicely. You could get a whole package with several printables for under $10 or under $20 or something like that. But it's definitely worth it. It's so helpful. So anyway.
Yeah. So we're going to catch up. Job. There was a bet. Job's a righteous man. Stuff happens to him. Boils. Loses his family. Loses his wealth. He's going through it emotionally, physically, and mentally. That's why I said I'm blessed, because I'm not going with what he's going through.
Yes. Thank God.
And his friends basically called him wicked. He called him wicked.
Accused him of sinning,
and I think told him that he deserves everything that happened to him. Mm. Now, fast forward, we're at the last 10. A new person was introduced, a younger man.
I'm going to mess his name up. Elihu.
I
don't know. I'm going to probably say Elihu,
because that's what's natural to me. Elihu, yeah. So I'm going to ask this question to you, and then I want you to, you know, tell me your thoughts.
I'm going
to
break some stuff down about Elihu, too. Go ahead. Please ask away.
How is Elihu different than the three friends?
Okay. Some background context. And I got this from, well, some of it, it says in the actual Bible in chapter. So we're talking about Job 32, when Elihu is sort of introduced. Couple of things that it says right in there. It's like he's not an elder, so that I would think that means he's a younger man. And I looked him up on, you know, Wikipedia, Britannica, and lightbearers.org, and I found out a couple of things. Like, you know, it says who he's a descendant of. He might be in the line of Abraham. I read something, John Lightfoot, who I guess was a scholar back in the day, suggest that Elihu might have written the chapter of Job, but that I only found that in one place, so I'm not really going to take that as true. And this is somebody who suggested, so it's not like everybody believes that, because every other place I saw they said they don't know who wrote it, and it could have been Moses. Mm-hmm. And it could have possibly been written probably before Genesis. Mm-hmm. But these are all possibles. So, but anyway, the reason I bring that up is because I did notice that when they first spoke of the friends coming through, mm-hmm. there was no mention of Elihu. Mm-mm. But when he spoke in chapter 32, too, mm-hmm. he said that he was standing by watching the heated exchange. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if they knew he was there or if he was just kind of like in the cut.
I think they knew he was there because in the tradition, he was silent. You have to say silent. It says he was silent because he was the youngest.
Yeah, because he was younger and the wiser. Older are expected or
was they in wiser. Job's house, right?
So
that's the
that
thing.
Is a, that's something that we don't know I know that they when they got there they had put dirt on their heads and stuff. Yeah. So it makes me think he was outside, but I don't really know. I mean, if he was like suffering like this, I would think that he would have taken some sort of shelter. But again, we don't know that.
God said it never said it took Job's house, so it could be.
Yeah. Home. Well, so here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
You asked me how was he different. So he was younger. Mm-hmm. Based on his words, it seems like he's a little wiser, even though he's not as old as they are.
Age
and they said that age, look, there's something in here. Those who are wise, those who are older are said to be wiser. This is one of the things that he ended up saying, but it's not mere age that makes men wiser. Mm. Rather, it's the spirit in a man and the breath of the Almighty that makes him intelligent. I thought that was really interesting because, you know, sometimes kids or younger people say stuff and they say of the mouths of babes, right?
Earl does that.
Yeah, Earl does that all the time. Where it's just like, you just hit me with some logic or hit me with something that I didn't think about. Like, that's really interesting. So it's not always your age that makes you wise. I think the thing that makes him different is he is not as judgmental. I dare to say that he's not judgmental at all. But there was this one line that I noticed where I was kind of like iffy about it. We're going to get to it. But he was different because he was trying to comfort Job, and he said, I'm just a man of clay, right? He was like kind of humble, and he said something different. He actually tried to, through his speech, honor God and tell him, you're not allowed to say this about God. You're almost wrong. You are wrong. You know what I'm saying? You've upheld him and you still understand that he's God, but you don't know what God knows. You're not God. You can't hold him to a standard. So that's why he was different, because he didn't offer these sort of like made up fictitious that's one of my favorite words. He didn't come up with these made up stories about why Job was going through what he was going through. Mm-hmm. He was just like, hey, slow your roll, don't say what you said about God, like he owes you something. But he was different in those ways. That's what I think. So let me turn that back on you. I mean, I may have taken your answer already.
No.
How do you think that Elihu was different than the other three men?
To your point, I agree. He was younger. He didn't accuse Job. wasn't accusatory. He never said, Job, you're a sinner.
Right. He didn't accuse him of sin.
He didn't call him wicked.
Okay, we gotta talk. We gotta talk.
You're right. Sorry. It's okay. He never called him wicked. He never said, Job, this, you deserve this.
Wait a minute. I think he did, but it wasn't that he, okay, I see totally what you're saying, because it's different. It wasn't that you deserve the suffering,
yeah.
Right? He had mentioned.
It's not deserved.
He had mentioned that because through your suffering, you've now questioned God, yes. Then now you deserve to be dealt with. Right. So you're right. Yes. He didn't say you deserve to go through this,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
He said, you shouldn't talk about God that way, and now you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Now you should be careful.
Which we're going to see later.
right.
This is my thing. This is what we were talking about. Where I had we'll get to that. That'll be the next one about his flaw. Well, I think I had a problem with it, but the difference between him and the three friends is that Elihu was like, listen, you can't complain about God, what he's doing. The other three friends accused Job of sinning. Elihu did not. He was like, you know, maybe you're going through this for a reason,
mm-hmm.
which is huge. And Job was quiet too, because Job stopped talking. You know, next time you hear from Job is going to be from, we'll get to that. So that's what I think he was like. I don't think he was saying, I think he was like, man, it might be a lesson in all of this, but yeah. you can't ask God to go to court with you.
Oh,
you
man.
Know, who are you?
Who
are you to question God's,
who do you think you are?
Yeah, to question God's reasoning. So I think that's what it is. The other three friends were saying all types of crazy stuff about him. He's just like, man, you didn't sin. You're a righteous man, but we don't understand what God's. You don't understand why God is doing this to you. Now, we're gonna segue right into it, and I'm gonna start it off. Right.
Okay.
The question is, what is the flaw in Elihu's reasoning? Here's the thing.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, and we were talking about this when we read it. I was like, I get what Elihu was saying. But Elihu, and we read this, Elihu doesn't know from God's perspective of why God did that to Job. Right? Because humans don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now we learn this by reading the Bible today. Of that was his flaw. But I was like, well, Job, you can say everything that Elihu said, but it's hard for somebody who hasn't been through it. Maybe he has, but it didn't state that in the Bible. And I'm going off what the Bible says. He's telling Job, you shouldn't question God because of your suffering. But what I'm saying is, he doesn't know the suffering Job is undertaking.
Yeah.
And it's hard for you to tell somebody, like, oh, you've lost everything in your life, and you don't complain. Like, wait a minute. You know, so I get... That was my take. And then I read that even as Elihu was right for saying, Job, you should just, it's a lesson. It could be a lesson in your suffering. You shouldn't question God. His flaw is that he only knew from a human perspective and not from God's. So that's a pretty tight-knit case, though. So... What about you, man?
Okay. I think... So, I was trying to find it where he kind of, like, went on him. I was just going to say exactly what you said, really.
Yeah.
So, one thing that kind of... I guess I was hesitant about because we had just read from his three friends, is even though he was making sense, he was speaking with such a surety. He was like, he was sure that God was speaking through him. And I was a little bit taken aback by that just because we had just read all his three friends who thought they were wise and they weren't saying anything that could be proven. So when Elihu started speaking and he kind of was like, talking about how angry he was because he was standing there listening to them. And he was like, the questions I had no problem with. But when he started making statements, it dawned on me that you can't speak for God either. You just said you were made out of clay. So God can speak through you, obviously. But I was just a little bit, I don't know, hesitant to just take and drink every word because I didn't know if he was also going to say something crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, so I was like, should he be speaking for God is what I was thinking. Because there was a part in there where they had said, so he did say in 33:3, my words will express the uprightness of my heart and my lips will speak what they know with sincere, with utter sincerity. So he's speaking for me. Oh, then he says in 33:4, he says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life, which inspires me.
Okay.
Right? And then later, I don't know, it was something about it. He was like, listen to my words and pay attention to everything I say. It was weird the way he was like talking about how he's about to talk.
Yeah.
But then he starts talking. He says, oh, yeah, 33:9. It seemed like he was kind of judging Job. He was like, you're saying I'm pure without transgression. Yeah. And so I get what he was saying and I agreed with some of it. But then I was like, well, you just said that you're a man. And so if you're going to call him to the carpet for being human,
yeah,
it just seemed a little uneasy for me.
So you think it was kind of coming off a little judgmental?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But he was right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But sometimes when somebody checks you, the finger points back on the checker. Because it's like, okay. Yeah. And then he even went so far as to say,
point one and four point back at you.
Yeah.
See that, guys?
The thing is, your point? He has said something about, well, he goes on to say the wonders of God and everything, and God is mighty and all of this, which is all true. But then at the end, he said that Job like uselessly opens his mouth and without knowledge drawing worthless conclusion. That was 35:16 that I was just reading. Job uselessly opens his mouth and multiplies words without knowledge. That was a little judgmental. Job uselessly, I don't know if how it's written in other translations, but
what verse was it?
That was 35:16. What does yours say?
This is the, hold on, so let me look it up. English Standard.
Job uselessly opens his mouth and multiplies words without knowledge.
Let's look at this.
Drawing the worthless conclusion that the righteous have no more advantage than the wicked.
35. English Standard Version, man. This, I like to read this in my study Bible. 35:16. Job opens his mouth in empty talk and he multiplies words without knowledge.
35:16. This is the what version? King James?
King James. This is the King James.
Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge.
He shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but see, because he's a man,
yeah.
I'm like, how can you say that?
How can you say that? Yeah.
I can see what he's saying. You shouldn't speak against God. Like, that is the truth amongst truth.
Boom, boom, boom.
But it's just like for you to say, oh, you open your mouth without knowledge. Well, how do you know if you're wrong?
Yeah.
Right? And so, and then, okay, the last part that I was looking for, which, okay, let me find this. Yes, this was me. Elihu said in 34:36, Job ought to be tried to the limit because he answers like wicked men.
Wow.
For he adds rebellion in his unsubmissive, defiant attitude towards God.
He said that?
Yes, to his unacknowledged sin. He clasps his hands among us in open mockery and contempt of God, and he multiplies his words of accusation against God. So,
like, who are you to say?
Yeah, he should be tried to the limit?
Right.
You can't say that. So I think that was a major error. Wait, tell me what the King James Version says of 34:36.
34:36? Oh, yeah, it says, my desire is that Job may be tried until the end because his answer because of his answers for wicked men.
So that answers the question right there.
Yeah.
What was it again?
The flaw.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're not God, man.
And then in one of our study Bibles, it said that his answers were correct, but they were incomplete. They were correct, but they were incomplete.
Yeah.
He gave a bunch of valid points. I'll list them out, and I'll list out the verses 33, 6, and 7. Mm-hmm. He was saying that he's just a man. 33:13, he was like, why should you fight against God? Because he doesn't give you an account of what he does. Yeah. You're not God. You don't get to tell God what's right from wrong. Like, oh God, why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this. You couldn't say that to God. Right? But I mean, I get his pain. And so that's what I say about Elihu, because it's like, you don't know what he was going through to be able to say all of this stuff, mm-hmm. right? I've heard that when women are in labor, they say things that are very mean because they're going through so much pain, right? Yeah. So, and then he also have really other good points. Oh, he mentioned in 33:14, this is Elihu, who he said that God speaks again and again in our dreams and visions of the night and tries to give us instruction.
Yeah.
He opens our ears, gives man wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their minds. So he was saying a lot of good stuff, but it was a couple of things that I was like,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, personal story time. So it's so interesting that I won't even say it's so interesting that I'm going through what I'm going through while I'm reading this, because it's like this is the information. Mm-hmm. So of course you're gonna run into these things, and because I'm reading it, I feel like I'm more aware of it.
Yeah.
So we had a conversation earlier in the week where I was complaining about something, and I thought to myself, what if God is telling me to be kind or forgiving or something like that? And I was like, I literally said to myself, oh, well, I'm not going to be disobedient, but I don't want to do this, right?
It's
like,
hard. Yeah.
It's hard. Like, if somebody's being...
It's hard to be obedient.
If somebody's... Okay, I'll give you an example.
Hard to be obedient to the Lord, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to give you an example without saying anything about, right, identity. But if somebody's being mean to you, right, and God is telling you...
Be loving. Be kind
to them, and they continue to be mean to you, your sort of natural instinct is to, first of all, shield yourself, shield your emotions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what we want to do is retaliate. Mm-hmm. Or just for me, I kind of get silent. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to tell people sometimes, like, hey, watch yourself, right? But God is telling me, be kind to them, right? And we've actually seen in the news that there have been 3 suicides of people who are sort of like well-known, and recently in the past few weeks, people who are well-known, or basically, yeah, they're all well-known. And it dawned on me through my sort of, not that I was ever going to be disobedient, not that I was planning to be disobedient, like, I'm not going to be kind, but it was just that point of like hesitation, or like, huh? Almost a questioning of like, what do you mean be kind? Really? So that was me understanding that I was kind of like Job in that way.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, God is telling you something. But it's like, my answer to it, and I laughed about it with you, was, well, it wasn't that I was ever going to be disobedient, but I just wanted to complain about it, right? I just wanted to be slow to be obedient, which is like disobedience, you know what I'm saying? So I thought that was interesting, because I was actually thinking about it, but the suicides, that I'm mentioning that for a reason, because we don't know what people are dealing with internally and what kind of support systems they have built up, how their mind is working, and we have to be careful of how we treat each other.
Yeah.
Later on, at the end of this book, we see what God instructed, right? Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me, we'll touch on that too, but you just have to be obedient to God, because you really just don't know what he's doing. And you shouldn't. You have no right. Mm-mm. Right? And it was, can you talk to us about that diagram? I know you have something to say, but at some point, can you talk to us about the diagram where it was like, you can't, the standard of God, you know, the one, that one.
Okay, we can do that right now.
So go ahead. I mean, but I want you to react to what I think you had something to say while I was talking about what I was talking about. If you didn't, please continue.
No, I mean, just being kind is... You said something earlier in the week, I think it was from Joyce Myers, where she was like, it's difficult to be obedient to the Lord.
Yes.
And this is, obedience is following God's will and God's word. And God's word constantly says, be kind, be loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know the cliche saying, what would Jesus do? All Jesus did was walk around, preach the word, and love people.
Yep.
That's all he did. Well, I mean, he did miracles. I'm not.
But the overall
kind. He was loving, and he was always preaching the word of God. So, if you're following what would Jesus do, right? WWJD. Or if you're reading the Bible, it's always saying be kind, be loving, be understanding, listen. Those are being obedient. But it's so hard to do because, as humans, we always want to do what we think is right. What we think is obedience.
Or what's comfortable.
Or what's comfortable. Like, I'm not making that phone call. Or, I don't care. Or,
I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I felt myself in that space.
Yeah, and it's you recognizing it is means that we are developing wisdom by reading the Bible. Because by us feeling certain things and reacted to it saying that it's not right, it's us learning wisdom because we're reading God's word. So normally if we weren't, we wouldn't even recognize that. We were being disobedient.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true for me. We would just go about our day. But because we're reading the Bible, it's the little things that matter, I think, to God. It's the being kind, the being nurturing, the listening, to understanding. And we're only getting better, you know, because we're reading the Bible.
To your point, and then I'll...
Mm-hmm.
To your point,
and I'm gonna read
that's
this.
Exactly what this. Was missing. So I mentioned earlier that we had to rearrange our schedules a little bit this week. And so typically we'll start on Monday or Tuesday. This time we didn't start until later in the week. And I found that without encountering God's word in the mornings, those were the days that I was struggling the most.
Yeah.
Right? It was earlier in the week, and I was like, really struggling. I was having an attitude. I was irritated. I was like, oh, of course this is happening, right? I was having such a bad time when I really wasn't. But on those days, those were the days that we weren't reading. So I definitely feel you on that last point. It's definitely, I could see the difference. I had said a couple weeks ago on one of our previous episodes that I can tell the difference when I'm reading. Now, by comparison, I'll confirm, I can tell the difference when I'm not reading.
Yeah.
I'm further away from what I should be doing. You know what I mean? And I can feel it, and it doesn't feel good. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't feel good. It's like I'm having a harder time doing things, and I'm lacking sort of like clarity. So... Yeah, I just wanted to mention that because now I can say with certainty that, it's making a difference. It makes a difference on my day. It makes a difference on my week.
Yes. So, I'm trying to think when I should say this.
You want to keep going?
We're going to do that, and then I'm going to say, well, this is in this chart after we go over what God speaks.
Okay, cool.
Right? So now, drum roll. Boom. God speaks is what we all been waiting for, right?
We did not practice that, by the way. That was completely, what do they call it? Improv.
Yeah, you gotta be real, man.
We just work so well together, you know?
Yeah, so God answers Job. And God comes in the form of a whirlwind. And the question is, God seems angry. Why is he angry? So,
and this is Job 38.
This is Job 38.
This is after Elihu spoke.
Probably to about, I want to say 42. No, Job, we'll go 38 to 41 God speaks, I think. Yeah, 39, 40, 41. Yes. But 38 and 39 and 40 and 41 are totally different messages to me in the way God speaks. So 38, 39, God is basically telling Job, you do not know.
Man.
You don't know how I've created the earth. Were you there in Genesis? No. You don't even, like faithful saying, you don't know when the sea stops and when the land begins.
That was, these are,
You don't know the star, the suns. You don't know how I create this. So, because you don't know these things, you don't understand what I am doing. And to me, that stood out. What'd you get from that?
I got so much. I literally was afraid reading it. You ever seen a mom pull out a belt and spank her child in public? It's like, you know it has to be done, mm-hmm. but it's hard to watch. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how, I mean, it's a weird example, but that's kind of how I felt here. But I was also just like, wow.
Yeah.
It was like so loud to me because I was yeah, I never even thought about that. You don't even think about what you don't know.
Yep.
You just don't know it. You're just going around in your life.
Yep.
And to think that, so God just pointed out a few things,
mm-hmm.
okay? But as I thought about it, I was like, yeah, thinking about the pictures that we have of our earth or just walking around and experiencing it. We had mentioned a couple weeks ago about how so many good things come from the ground. And the way we think about dirt is like almost bad these days. You think about soil as good, but dirt.
Like clay. And
dirt, it just doesn't seem like a good thing. But God made dirt.
Dirt, and dirt don't hurt.
I know, I wasn't going to say that. I knew you were going
to
say it.
Need to be a clip.
God made dirt. And all these things that we live off of,
mm-hmm.
comes out of it. Cotton grows out of dirt. Food grows out of dirt.
Cotton, huh?
There's so many things, fruits and vegetables and plants and herbs and things that we use on a regular basis. Wood grows out of dirt. Like what? Your home has probably some sort of foundation that is built with wood, and wood came from a tree which grew from the ground. It's like all these things that you don't even think about.
Keep going.
Right?
What
the fact that grass grows. Okay, so there's all of these things. So he didn't even, I don't even know if he really mentioned the dirt, but the thing that struck me the most was the seas. Right? Like, yeah, how does the shoreline know where to stop and not just keep going? All of that water out there, how is the gravity holding it? How is it that our earth is growing these things and we have such a different atmosphere than the other planets, as we've learned through pictures and science and people going into outer space, right? If we take that stuff and we think, oh, if we believe that, then let's keep going with it. How come our atmosphere is the only one like this in this galaxy that we can see? That we can see. So how is it that William Shatner, we try not to use people's names, but this isn't bad or anything.
No.
William Shatner recently
went out of space
in one of those trips that the billionaires are taking.
Can you go
to
the one with Michael Strahan?
I don't know. I think he went with the oldest person and the youngest person that's ever been.
Okay.
And he might have went with the Bezos brothers. I don't remember. Yeah, please do not quote me because I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember he did this interview the day after, where he was speaking about how amazing it was, and he was saying, guys, you have to pay attention to this. Like, it's so odd how our atmosphere is protected from the galaxy. It's dark up there. It's all dark, right? And the thing that brings light to the Earth is the sun. But the sun is in a galaxy. Why is the whole galaxy not bright? You know what I'm saying? So it's just these little things that I'm like, I'm not trying to mess with anybody's theories, you know what I'm saying? But it's really interesting to me how all of these things are just intact and the body heals itself. And so God is going through and he's mentioning all of these things, like, where's the way that the light dwells? He said this thing twice mm-hmm. to Job in this chapter. He opened up by saying, oh, who mm-hmm. is this that darkens counsel, which is basically questioning my authority and wisdom, by words mm-hmm. without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, mm-hmm. and I will ask you, you instruct me. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, can you imagine?
Yeah. You tell me what to do.
You tell me, since you know. Then he goes through these series of questions, and he's like, do you know the way? Where's the way where the light dwells? Mm-hmm. As for darkness, where is its place? I'm mm-hmm. just going to skip through here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail? Right? And then he says, where's the way that the light is distributed? Right? It's just like all of these things. How do you bring about rain? How do you make the seeds of grass to sprout? Mm-hmm. Grass grows everywhere, even quicker than we want it to during the summer.
Yep.
Right, James?
It does.
But nobody's governing or controlling that. Like, yeah, you can lay some sod, but you still gotta, you know what I'm saying? Where did the first grass come from? Where's all this grass on untouched land? And I'm not even going to get into my thoughts and things about Antarctica, because I have so many questions about Antarctica. But anyway, who did that? If we know, so I was asking James a bunch of questions as if he knows all the answers. We do this to each other, but we treat each other like Google sometimes, where it's just like, hey, how does this thing work? And I asked him a few weeks ago, hey, what's up with Antarctica? Is there a population there? Are people not living there? Like, what's up? And he told me what he knew about it. And I was like, oh, well, that's odd. And then we started looking stuff up and it was just weird. But I'm kind of in awe of it now. Because
people live there for like 1 month out of the year or something.
Yeah, because it's so cold and it's basically uninhabitable. Mm-hmm. Like, they have science stations and stuff there and some buildings, but it's not.
Ain't nobody going to Antarctica.
It's not like most of the continents. And the thought that I had was, oh, it's untapped, right? Man hasn't ruined it.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to say that, whatever. You can take that how you want to. But there's this curiosity in me because I'm like, somebody built that, right? Mm-hmm. God. God is in control of this stuff. So anyway, I'm not going to keep continuing, but God just makes a bunch of mm-hmm. inquiries that made me realize that I don't even think about this stuff.
Man, and then it goes even deeper. In 40 and 41. Mm. Now, 40, he talks about, he challenges Job again, and he says, listen, you can't even know how about the creatures of the earth. You bow down to the creatures of the earth. And who made the creatures? Like, do you know who I am? You must have forgot.
That
you must have forgot who I am. You can't even handle what I've created, the beast on the earth. Now he talks about two mystical creatures in this. And it was pretty interesting. But we tried to look up pictures, but, you know.
Yeah, get your Google goggles out, folks.
So the first one in 40 talks about the behemoth. And how big the behemoth is. And it's a majestic creature. And how large the behemoth is. And how the behemoth is structured. Now, some people say that it's a elephant or a hippo. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that
he eats grass like an ox.
Yeah.
His strength in his loins, his power is in his muscles and sinews of his belly. He sways his tail like a cedar. The tendons of his thighs are twisted and knit together like a rope. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are like bars of iron. This is from the Amplified Version. It's verse, it's chapter 40. And I started at verse 15. So 40:15. Yeah. Job 40:15.
It says behemoth in the Bible. I just, if it says elephant, it would say elephant or ox or hippopotamus. It says behemoth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's describing it like it's a majestical creature. And if you look up Behemoth, it says a majestical creature from the Bible. So this is in a very early stages. So this is what God is saying. Like, you look at the, you can't even challenge right now. It's like trying to challenge an elephant. An elephant is going to stomp you in the ground. Mm-hmm. He's talking about no rifle, no guns, no nets. By yourself, go to the wild and look at an elephant with tusk in its face and try to conquer it. Mm. You cannot. No man can. It's going to trample you. Now, this is a behemoth. I'm just comparing it to nowadays. A behemoth is even more majestic than an elephant. Then, in 41, this is stunning. I'm not even going to lie. Man, this is stunning. So, it is a... It's in the Bible, guys. This is in the Bible. Job 41. God said it is a...
I guess it's called a Leviathan.
A Leviathan.
Let's ask Google how to pronounce it.
A Leviathan. A Leviathan is a mystical creature. Get to where he says it.
On the bi-syllable. Leviathan.
Leviathan. So, okay, so I'm trying to read out of this.
Okay, 41. One, you can't draw it out with a fish hook or press down its tongue. So you're looking for 40.
Oh, right. Because
41, this, 16 through 41. There it is. 21.
There's 41. Okay. 41, 16. So.
All the way down to 41, 21.
Yeah. And this is God's mightiest creature. And it says this. 41:19 Out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks out fire. His nostrils go of smoke out of seething pot or cauldron. The Leviathan is God's mightiest creature. So Faith got fearful. I probably should have got fearful, but I got really
not
excited.
Of the thing, but of God.
Yeah, like, God. Yeah, like this like, is like
if I could create this creature that can't be indestructible, can't be destructed. He talked about the
destroyed.
So in chapter 41, you kind of have to read the whole thing because there's details all over the place. But it says no air can come between his skin because it's nothing can penetrate or strip off his outer armor.
Yep, his heart is hard as stone,
and his
no weapons can kill this.
His strong scales are bound together with a tight seal, and no air can come between them.
Yes.
And that's 41:15.
It says, because his craftsmen they beside themselves, right? The sword reaches him and cannot avail, nor does the spear dart a javelin. His regards iron as a straw, and bronze rotten as wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Darts are regarded as straw to him.
And if you Google it, not to say that Google is whatever, but I Google a lot of stuff. If you Google a lot of stuff and that works for you, man, welcome to my life. We definitely Googled the behemoth, and we Googled the Leviathan. I knew it
when I read it. I was like, this seems like this is a dragon.
It even looked scarier than a dragon. But, we know dragons scaling, to be... He talked about the red eyes. About the fire breathing and the smoke in the nostrils. So we know that to mean it's a dragon. But
right. It could be a right mythical.
But it's obviously like some sort of like reptilian with the scales. Yeah. And the fact that it was in the sea. Because he mentioned something about fish hooks.
Yeah.
So it's... Okay, this is a creature that you can't... govern.
His
scales are, you know what I'm saying, you probably can't even shoot him.
You can't shoot him. It's God's mightiest creature. So, number one, these creatures are not here today. if we
or we haven't seen them.
If we
there
we
are things in the sea that we have never discovered as humans.
So I mean, I would if a Leviathan came out.
For one. Let me tell you, if Leviathan came out, it'd be, I don't know, might be destruction
because he's saying nothing can destroy it. I mean, I don't know. We have to get to Revelation for that.
But we don't know.
This is why the Bible is so cool. It just broke down two mystical creatures that God has created that back in this day, for him to say it and Job probably to recognize it,
mm-hmm.
they had to be noticeable or seen.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, this is the behemoth and this is the Leviathan. I'm not saying people saw it, but we don't, they might have saw a Leviathan back then. But this is in the Bible, which is pretty cool. That God's greatest creature that he created is a mystical creature.
All right, so when you say great, I don't want to.
What you mean?
I get, but in our common language, right?
Yeah.
We use great in a couple of ways. So great means big. Great means fierce. It sounds like it's an indestructible creature.
Yes.
And the point that's being made here,
Yeah.
But what I took away from it was that if God made these creatures that are so sort of mighty.
Yes.
And we can't control those creatures.
Yes.
Then what makes us think that something bigger than them didn't create them?
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You think you're supposed to be taking care, you think you're going to hold God to some standard of comfort.
Yeah.
Like, God, you're supposed to keep me out of pain. You're supposed to make sure I don't go through nothing. Where are you? Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, whoa.
Right.
Don't say that. Right? People are quick to say things like, why me? Or I don't know who it was. It's like, why not you?
Uh-huh.
It might have been one of our pastors. Why not you? What makes you think that God's going to not let you? Everybody's going to suffer at some point, you know? But it's your faith.
Yeah.
It's your faith that can bring you out. When you go to God with prayer, when you can identify to yourself that God is with me and he's going to bring me through this.
Yeah.
Right? That's your power. So it's not for us to say, God, why me? Or God, why did you do this to me? Why is this happening to me?
Yeah. I also, right to your point, and we'll get back to it, I also think is he's saying that stop thinking you understand.
Yeah.
You don't even understand the creatures on earth to this day. If you're walking in the jungle and you see a lion, you have no guns, no spears. You can't control it. What?
Yeah.
You don't even understand the thought process of what a lion is thinking. You can't tame a lion with your bare hands. What makes you think that you can understand its creator? So you don't know what you're going through, and don't question why you're going through it to me.
Not to God.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't question me.
Don't question why.
Yeah, why?
Because
don't know why. Yeah.
Right? Only God knows. So, I get what you're saying.
Now I'm about to read the chart.
Okay.
Because then we're going to wrap up because...
Wait, this is the one about God's...
Yeah.
Power.
Yeah.
Okay, the one about this one right here.
Yes, I'm about to read that now. And then we're going to wrap up because of Job's response.
Okay.
Which is very quick.
Okay.
All right, God's justice. It's the wrong view is the law of fairness. Which is, we put the law of fairness and then God. Which is the law of fairness or justice that is higher or more absolute than God. It is binding even for God. God must act in response to that law in order to be fair. And our response is to appeal it. Just like we can't ask God that it's not fair.
Because only he knows.
Because only he knows. The correct view is God, then justice. God himself is the standard of justice. He uses his power according to his own moral perfection. Thus, whatever he does is fair. Even if we don't understand it,
mm-hmm.
our responses to appeal directly to him. So it's fair whatever God does. And I think that's why Job was special, because I was telling you earlier, you're going to break during every process. It's a natural thing. So what I think, he held on as long as he could, and then he just complained.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that sinned. I just think he was asking God why. And I think God answered him very correctly.
Well, I want to go back, because what Job ended up doing, he kept God as the understanding that God is almighty. But at one point he had said something to the effect of, people who are wicked get the same justice. So why even do right if I'm just going to get punished worse than the wicked? And that was the part
that was not cool.
Because it's like, what is God getting from you doing righteousness? Yeah. God is not waiting for you to do good so he can have a good day.
Or I think the point is also when he was like, God, take me to court. God.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you? And who is the court?
Yeah, who is the court? Like, I am the court.
I am the court. Who do you think you are?
It's so interesting
because, like I said, and this is the kind of flaw with Elihu,
yeah,
we don't know
yes.
what we're going to do until we're in the situation. Yep. So, and that was one of the things that I was listening to last week with Joyce Myers. Mm-hmm. She said something to the effect of, we don't know what we believe until we go through something.
Yes.
Right? You can say you believe and you're having a fair, a fun life. And then when you go through a trial, you have to depend on your faith.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you're going to do. That's when you are having a trial.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I take that as word, because that's true for me. Like I said, last week when I had that attitude, why is this person being mean to me, or whatever. And then I was told, really, I felt like, okay, just be kind. And I thought to myself, what? Why? Like, why would I do that? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, see, I was going through something there.
Yep.
And I have all this information, but the application of it is the trial.
Yeah. So,
I'm going to let you continue. Please go right ahead.
Yeah,
with,
we're going to end this out, because it's Job responding to God. And as you can imagine, it's quick. And very humble, because the last question is, Job's answer is incredibly humble. What can we learn from it? So what Job basically said was, I know little. And I'm sorry. So
yeah, pretty much.
Think about this. He didn't even come back, God. He just listened and understood. So he was humbled, and God knew it, true to his heart. And once he was humbled, Job took accountability. I'm sorry, I don't understand. Sometimes that's all God needs, man. He doesn't need I thought this and I thought that. Just say, I'm sorry, God, I didn't understand. It's all God wants to hear. Because you don't know. I don't need a 50-minute prayer. Because you don't know.
I think it's different with each person.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah. And I agree with you for myself.
Yeah.
But I think that when God is speaking to you,
yeah,
you'll know.
Yeah, and I don't think it needs to be. What I'm saying is, sometimes we get in our heads of God wants this elaborate response when he just wants a simple thing. A simple thing could be just praying, thank you.
Yeah.
So all Job was like, I'm sorry, and I know little.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
My spiritual eye sees you. Yeah, he's just making acknowledgement of the fact that he was wrong.
I was wrong. Just take accountability. You don't know. I'm sorry. There's no a need for Just no. Here's why I did elaborate.
It.
Yeah.
Here's why I did it, God. Here's why like, I did no, it. There's no time
there's
for that.
No time, because God knows already. I know why you did it. Just be humble. Say you didn't understand, and keep it moving. I don't need a prayer. I don't need all that. That's what I think. I think God's just like, take accountability, keep it short and simple. Because, listen, I know why you don't understand. Because I think sometimes, when we can, and I do this all the time, when you give enough rope, you hang yourself. If you keep talking, you're going to get back into the same situation again, because you're going to keep talking and talking, and God's like, there you go.
Yeah.
You're not understanding.
If he would have gone back and tried to explain himself, it would have been God's from his like, previous understanding,
like,
right?
You didn't listen
it's like
to
now
what I'm
God's
saying.
Here, so you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
so,
know, yeah. I just explained to you, and now you're combating.
Well, yeah,
me
so, but that didn't happen. So
no,
let's be clear about that.
No, no, because Job was clearly like, I take full accountability.
Right. Sorry.
I don't understand. I'm sorry. Now, here's the interesting part. I'm going to let Faith go into this because she was very, you had a really good point.
Okay, so in 42, when Job responded to God,
yeah,
God basically required, so he went and God went and rebuked the friends, mm-hmm. right? That he's like, they knew they were wrong. He actually spoke to Eliphaz. And let him know that what him and his friends had spoken about God was not right. And Job was right in some ways, right? In most ways. So he says to them, take seven bulls, and this is in 42:8, Job 42:8. Take seven bulls and seven rams, and he wants them to offer up a burnt offering for themselves. And he says, my servant Job will pray for you, for I will accept him in his prayer, so that I may not deal with you according to your folly. Okay, listen to this. This is wild to me. So if we go back all the way to the beginning, when Job started to have stuff taken away from him, and then his friends get there and they're supposed to be comforting him, and they didn't do that.
They accused him.
They made him feel even worse mentally and emotionally, probably, because here's your friends telling you how horrible you are and how you deserve it and how you must have sinned somehow, accusing you of things that didn't happen. I'm pretty sure that was like a heated thing. You're not going to sit here and lie on me, and I like you still. I was thinking that while we were reading it. These are not his friends. You know what I'm saying? They can't stay for the cookout type thing. There, now I see who you are. Mm-hmm. You're out of here. Something in the back of my mind was thinking that while we were reading it. So this part struck me because now Job is instructed by God to pray for them. They have to go and bring their burnt offerings to God, and then Job has to pray for them in order for them to be forgiven by God. I just thought that was wild because that's kind of what I was telling you about, right? Job just had to be like, okay, obviously, because he had recognized that he was wrong, he was probably willing to do anything. But just the fact that God is telling him that he'll forgive if he prays for them. So if he had been sort of in the disobedient mindset that I had described earlier for myself, I don't want to be loving and kind to them, then he probably would have, I don't know. We don't know what would have happened. I'm not going to say what I think because it's not in the Bible. But we don't know what would have happened. It's interesting, though, to me that he was required to do something for them in order for them to be forgiven. Because they had to go through him. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to me. And then you want to say what happened to Job after that?
Yeah, we're going to end it on a very positive note. Because this is exactly what happened in the Bible. So, the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed Job with 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke
of oxen,
1,000 sheep,
female donkeys.
And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his daughters were so pretty They were the fairest in the land. Mm-hmm. And he lived 140 years, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations.
He lived 140 years after that. And somewhere, I don't remember where, so please don't quote me on this. Mm-hmm. Somewhere I read that Job was around the 70-ish year when the whole thing started happening to him. So he lived 140 years after that, after this happened to him. But I don't know where I got that, so I'm just not confident enough to say that's how old he was. Plus, I think I was hesitant to say it before because our lifespan is not the lifespan that is described of what we're reading. Also, our time is not God's time, so sometimes I wonder if these were years or if we call years something different. So I just don't know if we're referring to the same timelines as we're reading or if we've tried to switch things up, because you know humans try to do that sometimes. So I think I was just hesitant to say with factual, like I was hesitant to say with confidence that he was 70 something when it started and now that this is good, because I also don't know how long this thing took. Do we know? We don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere. How long Job suffered and how long it took for him and his friends to have those conversations. And Elihu came, I think, for a brief time because he only had a few quick points. But we just don't. I don't know. Maybe someone does, but I personally do not.
Yeah. So Job got blessed, man, for just being consistent with the Lord. And I think the lesson from Job is no amount of suffering, we have to continue to be obedient to the Lord.
Yeah, I think my lesson from Job, I mean, there were so many, which is why, again, I have to say, you have to read it for yourself.
Yeah.
Do not take our word for it. Please go to the source, because our interpretation, read your Bible. Right.
Read your Bible. Go to the source and read your Bible.
Our interpretation might not be your interpretation. You might get something deeper out of it. Something else might catch your attention that didn't catch our attention. So it's really important for you to not just trust our interpretation. And also, I was going to say what I got from it was that however the pain feels to you, you can still have understanding that God knows more than you. And so if he's allowing you to go through this, there's something that he's doing. Mm-hmm. And yes, it might be painful. And yes, that can be acknowledged. But if you seek God and he knows what he's doing, you don't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. We don't know what he's doing.
Nope.
But if you seek God, and just understand that I don't know what's happening, but I know God knows what's happening, then he'll bring you through. Now, when I say bring you through, I'm not saying that you're going to live forever or you're going to get, because everybody's different and God has his own plan. God has the plan. So yeah. I think it looks different for everybody. I had a friend who, actually it wasn't my friend. I had a friend who had to witness, a couple of them actually, had to witness their friend dying of a disease. And it was painful for her to watch, but she mentioned to me that she was kind of relieved that she wasn't in pain anymore. And I've seen that too. That kind of happened with a couple of people that I've lost too, where it's just like, well, the good thing about them passing away is that they're not in pain anymore, and they were in a lot of pain when they were here. So we don't know what God's plan is, but it's important for us to remember that he knows.
Yeah.
So even if we're having pain and anguish and we don't understand and it's frustrating, right? Like, just pray.
Yeah.
Understand that you don't know and that God does. And that his plan will be, it will come to pass. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. My takeaway is just simple, man. We don't know or understand God's plan, and we need to stop trying to. but also it's difficult to do what Job did, though.
Yeah. Respect to Job. Yeah. Big up to Job.
Emotionally,
big up to Job.
Emotionally, physically, and mentally, he was going through it. And he still, through all the suffering, he was still, through all that, he still was like, I love God. The only thing he did was complain why. And you know how long, sometimes you could go through something physically and you ask God why. So, man, big up to Job. And next time you complain about something, realize that you're probably not going through it physically, emotionally, and mentally at the same time. So, you know, you have to be grateful and do not try to understand God's plan for you. All right? So, we will see you next week.
Next week, we're going back to continue where we left off with Genesis. We'll be reading Genesis 12 through 29, I think. Oh, wait, am I wrong?
Nope.
Maybe we're Genesis 12 through 24. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be up on Twitter.
Yep.
So always check Twitter to see what we're reading for the week. And that way, we're going to start going live more often. Yep. Probably not for the recording of the actual podcast, but we're going to start going live more because we just want to connect with people. And sometimes I think when ideas hit us, we should just go with them. Because we don't really know why, you know. So we'll just go ahead and just say what's on your heart. So, yeah. Make sure you check out our Twitter. Make sure you check out our link in our description box, our link tree. You can find us everywhere by either searching Is It Crazy or Is It God or IICIIG. Yeah. As always, we're going to say it again. Mm-hmm. Don't take my word for it. Go to the source.
Read the Bible. All right.
There it is.
Peace.